When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, the Husker Fan Sports Show.
Welcome to the Go Big Redcast, Match Rule Edition, episode number five.
Episode number five. Look at that. It's a Cinco.
We're the Mats.
Yeah, we're the Mats. What's up?
I'm Honky.
I'm Mac.
Got a hot take, Mac?
A hot take is we are in the doldrums in the off season when I kind of miss spring ball, but no news is good news kind of at this time. Like there was some news about a quarterback committing, but not to us. So whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, there's still plenty of rosy red things to talk about as well.
Yeah, and this is not a rosy red drink right now. Holy smokes, man!
Did you burn it?
This one got burned pretty good.
Well, you know, we don't want a lot of interruptions during the show, so
no.
We do this for you, not for us.
Well, and this is kind of the traditional match rule. We get together, we're having some drinks, we start talking, we're like, nope, let's do it.
Yep. We're dropping too much wisdom, I think, you know, to not put it out there for everybody.
I think what we'll do tonight, wow, boy, that's a strong drink. The graphic we threw out there, ceilings, floors, and no excuses, we'll kind of focus around that. The idea of we want to talk about ceilings and floors and not necessarily construction, number one. And number two, not on what we think the season's going to be, but more about the concept of when you hear people talking about ceilings and floors. Like, oh, this is as good as you're going to do. This is as bad as you're going to do.
Right.
And we kind of call BS on some of that. So I think we'll get to some of that. And then we'll talk also about the no excuses. And there were some quotes that Coach Rhule had a week or so back at a Lincoln Chamber of Commerce event. I thought that was really good.
It
was about accountability. So I think we'll talk about that as well. But before we get into that, let me bring up some of our upcoming shows and our sponsors here. Of course, we have Alumni Hall, the two Lincoln locations downtown at 1120 P Street and South Point Pavilions. And then we have a whole slew of fan forums coming up this Wednesday at 8 p.m., the Boys Down Bad podcast. Next Wednesday at 8 p.m., Happy Chris. And the Tuesday, you know what? I don't have that one up there right now. But the Tuesday after that, I have Tyler Peterson on.
Oh.
And then, of course, we have Pipeline Jerky here. Get 10% off. And last but not least, the Redcast store.
Spectron.
Use the QR code there, and you can get some good stuff. But, you know, let's get back to what we were saying there.
Okay.
All right, let's start with the idea. And I'm going to bring that up here. Surprised I didn't have that already going. All right. This is a tweet that we brought up a couple days ago. Mm-hmm. And it was the look on our face when someone DMs us that NU's ceiling is 7 wins this year. We have the Rock.
Right.
It was a nice GIF or GIF. I can't even remember.
I like GIF. I just go with GIF. I've just committed to it. Like, is it Nike or Nike? And I just committed to GIF.
And then we followed it up with, by the way, we should also include that we give the same look when someone tells us the floor is X.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll set the stage here, Mac, and then give me your thoughts on this. And Redcasters watching along, you've all been a part of this conversation. Someone comes up and says, you know, Husker football, I don't care, Georgia football, anybody, your floor is 8, it's 9, it's 10, it's 6, it's whatever. So, or I'm sorry, your ceiling is, and then your floor is 4 or it's 5 or it's 6. So they're setting that number.
Mm-hmm.
When someone tells you that, Mac, when you kind of have, when that starts the conversation, what's your thought usually?
Well, it's a little dependent on the situation at hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the last 5 years of Frost, you had a little data to back up some of those claims and you knew what the team was going to look like roughly and what we were going to do. But when you talk a coaching transition and a big kind of philosophy change, to me, it's exactly that eye roll. It's like, what are you talking about? How could you possibly know? You have no idea what this team's going to look like, how it's going to perform. You're not taking into account the fact that if we all would agree that some of the issues of the failing in the past was detail, small things, little things, then if coaching matters, and I think you think it does, then why don't we let these guys coach a little bit and see if they, if they've cleaned any of that up? I think we'll know pretty quick, but I don't think we're ever going to know this offseason. There's just no way to know. We don't even know what the starting lineup is for the most part. So it's like, stop giving me those things. I mean, anyone who predicts like 10, 11, I love that. I mean, I think that's cool, but that's kind of where my head is anyway. It's like, well, to me, there's no reason to put a number on it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, let's just see how it goes for a little while. I mean, I get it's fodder and it's fun to talk about in the offseason, but and then that's okay too. But some people say it with such certainty. It's like, well, you're never going to blah. I'm like, well, how could you possibly know that?
And this is, to me, it's not even a Nebraska conversation. Like a year ago, what was TCU ceilings? Because whatever somebody would have told you a year ago right now, it was going into year one of the Dykes era.
Yeah.
They blew it out of the water and went to the championship game. Mm-hmm. What was Northwestern's floor last year? You know, I mean, it would have been pretty easy a year ago to say, three wins, four wins. That's their floor. They won one. Mm. And that one was against us.
You're welcome.
You know, we were up double digits in the third quarter and kicking onside. So, you know, look. It seems so silly. And, you know, and Abby, you made that point there that rosters aren't even set. You know, how can you decide ceiling on the floor? And I completely. Are those live? Yep.
Oh,
yep. Nice. Those are coming in right now. Those are live viewers.
Oh, is this the internet? Oh,
welcome.
Whoa.
So, yes.
I just thought we had some loaded up, you know?
Well, and that's why we like going live, Matt, because we like that interaction.
I do like the feedback. I just wish I could read it. I don't have my readers on.
That's right. But, you know, I think that's the thing is that kind of to Abby's point right there, there's so many things that are just open right now. Yeah. Like, how can you sit there? Yeah. If someone comes up to you and says, Nebraska ceiling this year is 8, why? I mean, what's the injury situation going to be like once you get into the season? What's the weather going to be like? You know, are there going to be suspensions? These are real-life things that happen that you can't even begin to predict right now, let alone – and that's with both teams.
Right.
And so, you know,
and when you ask them why too, what do? They point to last season.
Oh, they point to things that are completely. But
that doesn't matter anymore. Yeah. Like it's a totally different paradigm now. We're doing a different defense. We don't even know what the offense is going to like. We're going to have a fullback. We're going to huddle. Okay. That hasn't happened in a while.
Yeah.
So to act like you have some data points to use, they're useless. I know the analytics guys are going to hate this. I know they are, but it's, I'm sorry. You're going to have analytics to tell you what happened next year. But it's just, I'm sorry, you're not going to, it's all guessing. It's all a little poke and a hope. And, you know, optimistic fans are going to land a little more optimist. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know a lot of fans are kind of snake bit. And I get that. I do get that. But I just don't like going into football seasons like that. I really don't.
Well, you know, I've had some of these conversations on the Twitter sphere in the last couple weeks, too, where somebody will say, we'll start talking talent. And, you know, Frost has had enough talent to win 6 or 7 games a year. And I'm like, oh, my God, last year we won 4 games and we had 3 games where we had double digit leads in the second half, Wisconsin, Minnesota and Northwestern.
Yeah.
And we lost to Georgia Southern, which nobody could say was a talent issue. I mean, my argument without even being that much better, just finishing out games, we won 8 games a year ago.
Right.
And I guess if you want to get into that, you know, comparative, like, well, this was your schedule last year and this is it this year. Well, we play the same teams. Pretty much in conference, and we replaced Oklahoma with Colorado. I mean, the argument should be that, schedule-wise, I wouldn't say that it's any harder. And that's why, look, I'm not setting ceilings. I'll give you a ceiling. It's 12, and I think this is what
– Boom.
This is what Jumbo Steam here said. The ceiling's 15-0. The floor is 0-12.
That's what I'm talking
about. It's science.
See, there he gets it.
And that and
– He's exactly right.
And it's spot on.
Yep.
You cannot be wrong there.
Nope.
It's guaranteed.
We used to call that hedging your bets. Yeah. and I'm fine with it. And it's fine. But that's the God's honest truth is right now it's 15-0 or 0-12. It's that really is what it is. Like, God, I hope it's not 0-12. I mean, I think 0-12 is little, but still, it's just, you're just guessing. And I get to, you know, we're content creators. You got to talk about some of the offseason, but my God, it's just the arrogance and the certainty of some of these statements. I'm like, it just turns me off.
No.
It's like when my wife says something like, you do this every time. Then my mind immediately thinks of exceptions. I'm like, no, didn't do it that time. And then I miss the point and then I get in more trouble. But that's just, I'm just kind of letting y'all in on how the brain works here for me. It's so fantastical. I just think of exception. Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of things about that. We're on a show that does a betcast.
Yes.
And there's a reason you and I don't do it.
Correct.
It literally means nothing to us.
Zero.
Now, Now, Abby, I'm going to bring another one up. She goes, they aren't useless. They're just the best we can provide given the current data. They'll likely change. And Abby, she's a doctor, number one, and she's a doctor of of stats. I mean, this is what she does. Okay. Oh, yeah. So I'm never going to argue with her when it comes down to the stats side of it.
It's always right after the fact. That's for sure.
Well, it's literally that the analytics, you know, analytics can tell you a whole bunch of things.
They can tell you what happened.
Yeah. And they're going to change not only in season, they're going to change between now and the beginning of the season because things are going to change. Mm-hmm. We still don't know. We know that we are under 85 in scholarships, but we don't even know which guys have technically left yet.
Yeah.
So again, when it all comes back to the certainty, when anyone is so certain that they can tell you what our ceiling or where our floor is, I usually give them that look of the rock there.
It just is kind of how I think too. And you know, and I understand the probability. I do get the probability of it. It's just, I don't know. I don't watch football for probabilities. I don't think like that. And yeah. I know a lot of people do, and everybody's different. But Vegas just keeps putting up bigger and brighter buildings. And you'd think if these analytics were so good, somebody'd be cracking that code. But I don't know. I don't know.
We had a question here from Kurt a little bit earlier, and we're going to pivot. This is what the match rule is. It's different from the Redcast where we're not just, going right down a list of this is the topic, this is the topic. We'll flow around a little bit. And we were playing on at some point talking about this Dylan Raiola kid. Sure. You've heard of him. You brought him up at the beginning.
Yes.
Kurt Payne said, could Dylan decide to come here next year if Georgia isn't what he expected?
Sure.
Absolutely. I mean, he'd be the 15,000 example of somebody going into to the portal. And I think, Dave Fite, who we've had on before with it's one of the fan forums. He wrote an article in SI today that was really good and posted it it was basically about, don't burn bridges. And especially in this world right now of the portal, and he's even talking to us as fans, don't burn bridges with players on Twitter. There's no reason going out there today and wishing Raiola anything but the best of luck there. And I hope he has a great career there. And if he doesn't, then I think, he wouldn't be the first quarterback to transfer. And we want to be in good position to get there. There's five quarterbacks right now at Georgia that I think it was two of them are five stars and three of them are four stars. Mm-hmm. So if you think that unless they can find a way to have a 5 QB system and keep everyone happy, the likelihood of them keeping all those guys or the likelihood of Dylan being a longtime starter there. I mean, they've had other 5-star QBs
that
couldn't beat out a walk-on.
For sure. Exactly. And one of the most talented teams in the nation. So
yeah,
a couple things on Dylan. One, absolutely zero ill will towards that kid mm-hmm. and his family. I said this before, but he absolutely gave us a fair shake in his recruiting process. And I think he actually did us a solid by bringing attention to Rule and his new staff and getting some, and like, if we get that number one tackle, that's a direct result of having Dylan come in and bringing that kind of talent in.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. 100% wish him the best. Could he come back? I don't know how you keep quarterbacks in this day and age. I don't know how you're going to keep elite quarterbacks in this day and age happy sitting on a bench with the transfer portal the way it is. And that's fine. I mean, quarterback is that one position. That's the one.
Yeah.
And like even Rule said that. It's like you can only play one realistically. I know you can have packages and stuff, but realistically, only one plays. So if you want an opportunity to play, then you got to test the market. I still am kind of fascinated on – I don't think – it's so early in Rule's career. I know he wants to build through high school, and I think that's smart. But I think when you're talking about that position, I think that's always going to be a very fluid kind of where it's portal or a hotshot freshman. But how do you keep a hotshot freshman if you've got any kind of experience coming back? And I don't want to build a team that's constantly counting on freshman quarterbacks to come in and stay and keep them happy to play. Mm. So, and then Georgia's going to have that. Georgia's had that problem. I mean, Alabama's had that problem. And now with the transfer portal open, it's wide open. So yeah, absolutely. He could come here. Absolutely. Maybe somebody else comes here. I don't think our quarterback room is going to look the same going into next year.
Well, and this is something I think for us to be, we are going to be consistent on this. And we've been asked this a number of times. We were asked this when we were on the No Block, No Rock podcast about a month ago. Were we prepared for Raiola not to come here? We were like, absolutely. we were absolutely prepared. The next question usually was, well, what's your thoughts on it? And I was like, not really a lot. Uh-huh. I know one thing for certain about Dylan. He wasn't going to win us a game this year.
Zero.
And chance. Right now it's really important for us to get off to a good start here in 2023. Mm-hmm. And things can start to change next year with recruiting when you start to have some success to show it off of. Yep. I mean, right now we're talking a lot about beating Iowa last year to finish the season. And it was a great way to finish the year. But how about talking about bowl games? How about talking about 8 wins or 9 wins or whatever we can do? We're not setting ceilings again, right? So what about talking about, something a little more impressive than that and some more recency and something that Rhule can talk to, success that he's done while he was here in year one? That's the stuff that I think it can change as we look forward to next year. And there's going to be another quarterback. There always will be. Yep.
Every year they have a number one quarterback.
One other thing that we have brought up in the past, and I think it is fair, especially, look, I would we take Dylan Raiola? Of course we would, for all the obvious reasons.
Yep, in a hot second.
At the same time, the style of play that clearly Rhule's going after, and he's talked about the speed of his quarterbacks, and he's not just talking about Sims. He's mentioned Purdy and Harburg, what they bring from a speed standpoint. I will say that Raiola is a little different QB from that. So, I think at least from the style that he's trying to go to, again, let's focus on 2023 and this year. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this offense. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see, is that the kind of offense that, fits, someone else?
He was unique in that respect, too, because you had to recruit him. Like, you absolutely had to recruit him. He was a legacy. He's the number one quarterback in the nation. You kind of had a shot with him. You had to recruit him. You had to recruit him as hard as you could. But the fit, I mean, we're speculating a little bit on what the quarterback position is going to look like next year, but we're speculating based on what the head coach is telling us he wants it to be, right? Well, so by the end of next year, we'll know probably – well, we won't know it unless Dylan plays a significant amount in Georgia. We'll kind of know what that quarterback position looks like on the field, like how much we run them, how much we throw them, how many hits are they taking? Frankly, Georgia's offense probably fits what I think of Dylan's skill set better, and why wouldn't you pick where you fit better? I mean, you get it's like we were talking about only one quarterback place, you want to go to a place where you have the most chance of success. So 100%. Now maybe he gets on the field next year and he shows more mobility, or maybe we play next year and we don't run the quarterback quite as much as we thought. And it becomes more of a fit then. Everything can change, but the loss of him, it's hard to really articulate how I feel about it. I wasn't shocked. It would have been super cool if we got him. It's almost more about the clout, though, for me. It was more about, we landed a legacy. We landed a five-star. We landed the number one guy. That just sends off, alarm bells for the rest of the nation.
His uncle's on the staff, for Christ. Right. I get all the unique things about it. I just, I don't know. So, here, Kurt's asking, agreed, wishing the best. Now what's next? Where do we go from here? I've heard that we're recruiting, or I haven't heard what we're recruiting for QB next year. I know there's a Sanders kid that was out there that he tweeted some stuff out today, and we've got an offer out to him 2025. In 2024, there's a couple of guys, one of them being Kalen from Bellevue, who is committed to Mizzou. Would we go back after him? And On3 had another couple names of guys that we'd be looking at. But, it's so hard with recruiting is to try to put these guys to muscle memory until they're even committed, until they're here. There's going to be a guy we're going to go after. And the thing that the portal changes everything is that if we don't get a high school kid, does that ruin everything, or are we able to go into the portal and pick up some depth, in different ways? Now the talent acquisition is so different.
It's so different
versus 5 years
ago. With the transfer portal, it's almost like you've got to plant seeds with so many guys so that when the time comes and they're not happy in the situation they chose coming out of high school, that you're in the running, you have a relationship with them. You can bring them back.
A year ago, that was Flores from Gretna, who hasn't even really stepped on foot at Oklahoma State yet. Yeah. But you don't burn bridges Dave Fite's point in that article. You don't burn bridges because a year from now, if Flores isn't working out at Oklahoma State, we want to be in position to get him then. If we can't get Raiola now and it doesn't work out there, we want to get him then. Yep. And think about at Texas right now, where they have Quentin, they have Ewers, and then they have Manning, Arch Manning.
Yeah.
Well, Ewers goes to Ohio State, makes $1 million in NIL, and then transfers without ever playing to come, back to Texas. And now, he's got a couple more seasons in front of him. They get Arch Manning. Is Arch Manning just going to sit around and, twiddle his thumbs for a couple years?
I was going to lay odds on it. What do you analytics people think? it doesn't sound good to me. It'd be interesting in 5 years from now, if someone goes back and does a study on, you know, your top five quarterback prospects, how many of them are still with the team they signed with in high school? I bet the number's low.
Oh man, that's a tough one there.
Yeah, I bet the number's real low.
PJ says keep the QBs in the pocket. Might be on the wrong podcast, PJ, for us here. I mean, look, I'm fine with pocket passing. I mean, that's part of the game. But the concept of the quarterback and his legs are something that I think can be a differentiator for Nebraska.
Needs to be.
Yeah, needs to be. It needs to be. We're at our best when we've got QBs that can hurt you dual threat wise.
Caveat though, the running game needs to be the running backs.
The running backs.
To me though, yes, keep the quarterbacks upright, you know, and let them run a little bit. I don't want ever to be back into that Adrian Martinez kind of like he's the show kind of deal. And I don't think that's how this is
going to go. But boy, I'm an option guy. And when you go back to, I think maybe the best moment of the Frost era offensively would have been that Northwestern game in 21. Mm-hmm. And Martinez, I think he ran it 7 or 9 times, one of the two. It was less than 10. And you think of all the option we ran that game and running backs up the middle, pitches to receivers. There's some deep balls. They did some pocket stuff too, which is made easier by moving the pocket on other plays. Mm-hmm. And that's a great offense. And it's an offense where, you know, he was very upright as opposed to other times where he's the lead runner, you know, and he's taking 25 carries a game. Nobody wants that. So PJ, you know, like I said, I'm cool with keeping him in the pocket, but also, we don't want the QB to be a 25 carry a guy
not at all
either. That's not.
But you brought this point up in the past, and it's a great point. The times, well, Casey Thompson, for example, the times he got lit up was in the pocket.
Yes,
you're like the pocket sounds good, but if when you're running the ball, you expect to get hit. You're ready for the hit. You're ready for the contact. Mm-hmm. When you're in the pocket, your focus, all your focus, ideally, is downfield, looking to get the ball and push it downfield. That's when you get smoked. You know, and that's when guys go off the field limping and stuff. So, I mean, I understand the concept, keep him in the pocket, keep him protected. But, you know, nowhere safe on the football field.
Sure.
You
know, this goes way back to Osborne, Solich era kind of football. But I can remember the 99, gosh, I don't know why this popped in my head, the 99 Big 12 championship game, the one where we beat Texas.
Okay.
And at one point in that game, they had a stat come up about how many times Eric Crouch had been hit so far versus how many times Major Applewhite had been hit. And I was like, of all this, like, who really gave a shit?
That's a stupid
like,
stat.
Like, that stat couldn't be less apples to apples. Apple whites to orange whites, right? What I mean, like, it was so dumb because when you're running option, number one, you're taking different kinds of hits. You're preparing for it. You are the runner. Uh-huh. A lot of times you're getting hit by an outside linebacker or corner.
And you're
or
safety, moving too. So you have your momentum.
You're moving with them.
Standing there.
And when you get hit in the pocket and you're Applewhite and you get hit from the backside, you're taking the most wicked hits and you're taking them from 270-pound D linemen. I mean, it's just it's not the same thing. So that's another example of where, yeah, you can keep the analytic. How many times have you been hit? But the hits are different.
Yeah.
And every time, to your point, when Thompson a year ago would get hurt, a lot of times it was sitting in the pocket. Mm-hmm. When Martinez would get hurt back in the day, it's when he broke the pocket and ad-libbed on things and was running on his own. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
now you're
not
intentional.
Not designed.
Not designed. And he was either going to break a defense doing that. He made unbelievable plays that way. But those are some of the times he took some of the biggest hits, too.
It was so good. Adrian, I feel like I have a soft spot in my heart for Adrian. I really do. I thought he was such a special runner. He was such a special runner. You know, it's too bad we couldn't. I just don't feel like we ever maximized that kid. That could be said for a number of players. I guess now that I think about it, they're that could be said for myself, really. I really haven't maximized.
Have you maximized yourself?
Well, not yet. But we got
you. Well, you know, let's. One of the other things that we wanted to talk about, so we kind of started talking about the ceilings and the floor discussion. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kurt, for kind of getting us into the Rayola one. We were going to do that sometime.
I like that kind of lifetime feedback.
Yeah.
Kind of directs conversation.
Keep throwing questions out there. Keep throwing your comments, and we'll incorporate it into it. But this is something that we wanted to talk about, too. And it was about a couple of weeks ago, or maybe it was last week now. God, we haven't done a show here in a little while. So,
well, vacations, injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, heck, injuries. I hurt my arm.
This guy's playing through pain right now. His mouse hand.
Yeah. I have an injured mouse hand here.
Literally a fracture. I don't mean to
fracture, but fractured humerus, falling down some steps in Boston.
Not so funny.
No, it's not.
God, Dad jokes. Hey, I got a dad joke for you.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. What's not heavy and blue?
Not heavy and blue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Light blue.
All righty.
Light blue.
Okay. So with that, oh, look at it. The viewership is just dropping.
Oh, wait, we've got another one. What do you call a dog that can do magic? An Abraca Labrador. All right, I'm done.
Okay.
Come back. I'm sorry.
Come back. Please come back. All right. So this was kind of the next point was we had a couple weeks ago, or I think it was last week, that Rule did a thing at the Lincoln Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah.
And a ton of great quotes. And you can go out to YouTube and you can watch this whole video.
I wish he wasn't so awkward in public, you know? Jeez, that guy.
But this one in particular really, I think, struck something with us. And it was, we don't believe that some ghost controls winning. We don't believe the refs do. We don't believe the Big Ten is out to get us. We own the results, and that's a powerful thing. That's what Coach Rule said. And I really like that.
I love that.
I like that in the sense that it is eliminating excuses. And I think this is something that Husker Nation almost, we've done all these things with, like, you know, exercising the demons and breaking curses and bringing souls back. We almost just need to go through and, like, whatever the thing that happened in the past was, it's the 1 second against Texas, or it's Kevin Warren, or it was whatever it is, the COVID year, the things that we still point back to and say, yeah, but this thing happened to us. We need to just, like, burn all that stuff and just say enough. It's over. And
it would be nice.
And it's completely not productive moving forward.
Right.
And I did the thing I don't ever want to do. There were some people on Twitter that were sitting there saying, yeah, but we were getting hosed on against Michigan a couple of years ago when Martinez fumbled that football.
Yeah.
We got hosed against Michigan. I literally had to go and find stuff where, like, earlier in that game, we score a touchdown where Austin Allen is in the backfield and it's an illegal formation. Yeah. They don't call it. It's like we've benefited from calls too. They're not out to get us, but let's just get past that. Like, and I think Coach Rule coming out there and just saying it that way, like, no one's out to get us.
Nope.
Let's go play good football. Let's stop with the pre-snap penalties instead. Let's play good football.
Yeah. No, I get why he would say that.
Or do you disagree?
I don't disagree. I don't know, man. Sometimes I can get way in my feels on those. I do feel like sometimes they've boned us, but it's, to your point though, it's not productive. And he's right. You own that. It's like what he said before, bad football teams make bad plays. And that's what we did. We were a bad football team. We made bad plays. If we were a good football team, we'd make good plays. It wasn't a talent thing. It's how good of a team. Abby, to answer your question, I'm going to say two ducks.
Yeah, she said
damn it. Did she already answer?
Yeah, no, she already knew it was two ducks.
I could barely read that, but I was going to be my guess.
Yeah, she goes, what has four legs and quacks, two ducks. She also just said, okay, but Kevin Warren was out to get us, and I will die on that hill. And I am okay with that, Abby, but we got to throw it behind us now because he's not with the Big Ten anymore. And it's time.
He can't hurt us anymore.
He can't hurt us anymore. It's time to move forward. It's time. And I think that's what Coach Rule wants to do. I think that's the positive thing about this conversation is that I think it's his way of saying, let's move forward. Let's take all
He just seems like such an adult. You know, he seems like such a leader.
Yeah.
You know, like, guys, it doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter. We've got to own our own results. We've got to be good enough to overcome that stuff. I mean, look, we always go back like this, but you remember the Florida State game where we almost won, and you had the William Floyd fumble at the goal line, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, you Corey know, Dixon's, you know, punt return that was called back.
And it was just a lot of shit that just kept kind of piling up on us. And that sucked. And that hurt that at that moment. But what did that catapult that team to do? I'm like, did they screw us over? A little bit. A little bit they did. But that was the mantra for the next season, where they come out and they win all those games.
Unfinished business.
So even if you kind of believe it's true, use it, focus it, and don't ever let them deny you again. And that's what good teams do. It drives me nuts to bitch and moan about things that you have no control. You can't control the refs. You can't control the weather. You can't control the other fans. You can only control what you're doing yourself. And I know I feel like in my bones, that's what Matt Rule is saying all the time. Well, it's like, we control us.
What I love about he's talked about with practice and everything and then living it in practice. We're going to be physical and we're going to get the quarterbacks, take the green jerseys off. But he's also talked about situational football and how important that is.
Very Bill Belichick-y.
Well, and I think about, like, this is just one little anecdote, but just one moment of it. Think back to the 2020 first game against Ohio State. Okay. So, you know, we had just said we'll play anyone anywhere. That was one of the things that, you know, Frost basically said, and Big Ten gave us Ohio State in week one, right?
Yeah, they sure did.
But guess what? Go back and watch that game. And 3 minutes left in the first half, they're punting the ball to us. Ohio State is punting the ball to us, and we're down three.
Yeah.
We've run the ball pretty successfully on them. And all I could think of was when it went to a commercial break, I'm sitting there with my buddies watching it, and I'm like, we don't need to score. We don't need to do anything more than get one first down. One first down situationally moves the clock to the point where we get to halftime down three, and we're going to kick the ball to them first in the second half. These are the things we know. There's your situation. So we need to be ready to get out there and get one first down. Can we do that? Can we get 3.5 yards of play? If we can do that, we control the rest of this half. And I think most people would be pretty happy being down three on the road to start the year. So what happens? We come out of the timeout, and those Big Ten refs were ready to screw us, right? No, we weren't ready to do anything. We had to delay a game. We had to delay a game before the first down.
Yeah.
And then we stopped the clock, I think twice on incompletions, and we're kicking the ball back to them with plenty of time for them to turn back around, score one last time before half. Now you're down double digits, and you're kicking the ball to them to begin the second half. Situational game football. Over. The refs didn't screw us.
Nope.
We screwed us.
Yep.
And that's those moments where we've got to be better than that. Okay. And so absolutely. And I love Abby. So, I mean, I love the talks that we've had about, you know, Kevin Warren, those things in the past, and they all remain true. It's just moving forward. We need to stop making those mistakes, shooting ourselves in the foot, playing situations better. And I love the fact that Coach Rhule has harped on that.
Yeah.
On those things so hard.
Yep. He understands the game, and that's probably my favorite thing about it. He just seems like he's got kind of an answer for some things. Like, going forward, we're not bashing on the past. Like, it is what it is. I wasn't thrilled with all of it, but I was totally on board when it was happening. I was a Frost guy from jump and until it
we all
melted down. But the situational football killed us under Frost. It just killed us. And that could have been his inexperience. It probably was his inexperience and also being in a very difficult football league. Like, the Big Ten has a bunch of really good coaches, and they will exploit your weaknesses. And then that's what they did. And we didn't adjust very well to it. I don't think that's going to be the case with Rhule. Now, that's just me being that's not just me being overly optimistic. That's some of that's based on his history, and he's been in Power Five conferences before, and he's had success. But also a lot of it is just how he talks. Like, we made a big point that one year, and this isn't a bash Frost. It's just an example of the difference. We made that, you know, Frost had that opening. He was the first speaker at that Big Ten media days, and he didn't have an opening statement at all. He didn't have anything ready to go. And it was just, let's take questions. Fast forward to Matt Rhule at a Chamber of Commerce meeting. He's got a PowerPoint that he's talking to in real time, and just he's got – he's ready. He's prepared. You can tell he just sits up at night and thinks about how to structure this team and how to put it together and what my coaches need to do. He's a leader of his coaches. He's a leader of his players. He's a leader of his program. I feel like he's one of those guys who's got his finger in a little bit of everything that's going on in that program, which is what you need if you're going to be big time. I feel like, I don't know this, but I bet Nick Saban's fairly involved. I bet there's not a lot of stuff that goes on at Alabama that Nick Saban doesn't have some sort of opinion on, or Dabo Sweeney or any of the really good coaches. So that's what he brings to me that I feel like we needed so badly. I mean, again, the results are strictly on the field, and like all this other stuff is fluff. And I don't really care if he's a really good public speaker. If we go out and we're 0-3 to begin the season, it's really going to bother me. What he projects, the air that he projects to me says adult leader prepared. He's almost consumed by it. He seems like one of those guys like Trev wanted. He's a grinder. He said, this is what he does. This is what he thinks about. Here's a guy who could make millions. No, if it was me and I had a contract where I could sit at home and pull in millions, best believe I'm at home. I'm not recruiting. I'm not setting up camps. I'm not talking to the Chamber of Commerce. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm not even going to golf. I'm just going to rake it in. This dude's built different. He's built different.
Well, you know, and one of the things that, it's still kind of been the honeymoon era with him too, right? I mean, he can do no wrong. I mean, well, it's a combination of he's done a lot of the things the way that we've wanted him to do it, a lot of things right, but he can do no wrong. And I think it's fair. And in fact,
he could, but he hasn't.
Well, no, technically in the last week, he kind of has. He's done something, and I'm going to bring up our first graphic of the year of this, the in-state recruiting graphic. Let me see if I can make that a little bit bigger. And Teddy Rezac was someone that we just added. And we added him as an uncommitted, but then the next day he committed immediately to Notre Dame, where he had an offer prior to us offering him. Now, I think it brings up a good discussion, at least a good discussion. And I've heard some people be negative towards him about, you know, obviously we didn't offer him first. Mm-hmm. He was offered by Notre Dame. He accepted that very quickly. And there can be many reasons why he accepted it. Mm-hmm. We've heard that Notre Dame did a great job recruiting him. We've heard that he is was a fan of Notre Dame. So all those things apply. I don't want to get into the specifics of recruiting one player because I never get into the specifics of recruiting one player. Nope. That doesn't interest me. But I just kind of have a steadfast rule of I always want to see Nebraska kids being offered.
Yep.
That are deserving of it. Mm-hmm. I want to see him be offered. I don't want to see us being late to the party offering an in-state kid and then have him go somewhere else. We've seen that countless times with previous staffs. Now, I bring all this up to critique Rule right now, okay. But not because Rule's not doing their job or they're not taking it serious. Look at this list. There are 9 names right now, mm-hmm. and it is May. There are 9 in-state kids that have been offered mm-hmm. by this staff. No one's going to convince me that this staff isn't going out there and putting in the time and effort with in-state kids.
Correct.
I mean, the next graphic here is just Ed Foley again, some more of the places he's been to. You see Ord down there? My family, my mom's side of the family is from the Ord area.
You love Ord.
Coaches don't go to Ord, you know, and this coaching staff has been to just about every single team.
The city's name looks like an acronym.
They've been to that's O'Hare Airport's acronym. Loop City and Aurora and you just name it. They've been to 8-man teams. I mean, I know that this staff is putting in the time in state. So what I'm trying to get at is on one hand, I'm sitting there saying, moving forward, you know, my steadfast rule is, if we identify a kid, you offer him, you don't wait for someone else to come in and do it. Now, do I think this is something systemic, this Teddy Rezac one, that we didn't offer him right away? No. In fact, what I would say is I really want to see what Coach Rule and staff can do when they have a full cycle under them, because they've talked so much about camps. They've talked so much about, you know, wanting to go out and see the players. Right. And they've been here for 6 months. They've never seen Teddy Rezac live playing a football game yet, right? And that's part of just the time thing. You give them this next offseason, this next summer of bringing kids in with camps, going out to camps. They're going to see these kids in addition to then go recruit them, watch them play football games and everything. And then I'm not as concerned that a year from now we're going to be late to the party on an in-state kid. I think that the staff they're definitely not going to be that kind of staff that's going to be late to offering kids.
In this one case,
I don't know if we dropped the ball. I don't know the specifics enough about it. I just know that obviously it wasn't a great look that we offered the kid basically the day.
I do know that Notre Dame absolutely showed him a ton of love. And that's not to say that our staff didn't, but you know, some of this is our history, our recent history coming back to bite us in the ass, which actually has nothing to do with Rule.
Well, that's what Jackson says here. He goes, I'm around current recruits age, and the thing is we've never seen Nebraska have any success, so it's hard to stay home when we can all remember is losing seasons. And that's
100%, Jackson. That's 100% right. And like you said,
that's the other thing that can change in 1 year.
It can change in 1 year, yes. But
in terms of at least we could have some success this
But season. You know what you hear about recruiting, and I got to be honest, I don't. If you're not a senior, if you're not a high school senior, you're sophomores, juniors, I'm just never going to learn your name. There's just too many out there. And I'm not that smart and I can't remember stuff like that. But the fact is, recruiting is about building relationships, and it's usually a 3-year process, you know. So what you said, though, about next year, if we're doing this, well, it still might be 3 years before we're really in the flow of things, which is fine. It's 100% fine. I think it gets better each year, especially for winning. Right. Especially if we give these high school kids a chance to look at this team and see what the state looks like when we're winning and see what kind of love they're getting from this. What will always differentiate us. And this is one of my favorite things about being a Husker fan is the other fans. What will never be diluted is how much Husker fans love Husker anything, football, volleyball, clearly, you know, it's, and so once we have the wins to match the passion and the fan base, these kids are going, like, kids right now seem all they want are clicks, likes, and affirmation of like this clout and love that you see online. It's kind of weird, but whatever. But that will make a humongous difference going forward if they can see what it's like with a winning program here. So right now, like, yeah, we're kind of getting it, taking it in the short tier because of it's just we haven't been good for a while. Not very good. Actually quite poor. So I can't blame a kid like Rizik for wanting to go to Notre Dame. Those guys have been pretty relevant in the last five years. And they rolled out the red carpet for the kid and made him seem like a priority. Like, why? And he's Catholic. Jeez, man.
Yeah. A lot of things can be true at the same time. And Dion asked if we need to offer the parents money. I don't even know what the rules are anymore.
Can you? Go ahead.
Can parents get NIL? Look, I think what I want to see, a couple of things can be true at the same time. I can be really pleased with the effort that I'm seeing from this coaching staff.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at this, and there's 9 names right now in state.
Mm-hmm.
And that is right off the heels of a year ago. I think we offered 11 or maybe 12 in-state kids. I forget now. Point is, those numbers are going up and they're good. You know, we've always said there is good talent in the state, and I'm glad that it's being rewarded with offers now.
Yeah.
Now, part of the challenge now is we've got to get those players to commit. Yep. And that's there's the mission to Coach Rule. And it's not that they're putting a lack of effort in right now.
No, it isn't.
Okay. But they may not find some of that success. Right now, we have more kids committed elsewhere to P5s than here. Now, Daniel Kalen, the quarterback, that's obviously, you know, he's committed to Mizzou right now. We've been going after a quarterback up until today that was our number one. So that can help explain Kalen not being here.
I don't know much about him, but is he dually? Is he a dual threat typer?
He was more of a pass first guy.
Okay.
But then you got Teddy Rizak there in Notre Dame. We also had Eric Ingwersen, and he's from Papillion La Vista. He was offered and went to Pitt before Nebraska offered him. Now,
look at these players, though, coming out of Nebraska, though, Matthew. That dude is 6'7", 240. And then what's the dude, Carter Nelson? That guy's he's phenomenal. I mean,
yeah,
we really are peaking. And I don't know, peaking's probably the wrong word, but there's a big – we have so many Power Five.
I just know offer that,
talent in within the state.
Yeah,
we've really got to harness it.
Really. Yeah, it's important. Look, I mean, I've made the argument when we started this show 6 years ago, we weren't getting 9 offers a year, but I was making the argument that we had more offers of, there were more kids worthy of an offer than we're getting them. Now that's a process, right? Other teams in Iowa was early in on it, and other teams would come in and have success with our players, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you know, the floodgates started to open. Yeah. Now all of a sudden everyone's like, hey, there's all this talent here. Well, I would make the argument, and we've had countless people on the show in the past, the Steve Warrens and Glenn Snodgrass, you know, guys that are in the know, they're like, yeah, there's been talent here. Now this is good talent right now too. This is. My bigger point is, if we're seeing at 9, 8, 9, 10, 11 offers a year, I mean, 6 years ago, I remember saying if we could get 5 a year from Nebraska, that would be 1/4 of your class, you know, of a class of 20, get another 5 from the 500-mile radius. There's 10, half your classes from the 500-mile radius. The other half is going to come national. We're a national recruiting class.
Yes, we are.
Our school. If we can go out and get 9 or 10 guys a year from Nebraska, if that's a possibility, think of how that changes things, because recruiting classes are different now with transfer portals. Yeah. With transfer portal, and I know Rule wants to build from high schools. I know he does.
That's what he says.
But if we get 20 kids a year from high schools, and we get 10 of them from in-state, you know, somewhere in that 40 to 50% of your classes from Nebraska, that changes the game a lot too for recruiting. So we really, they're doing the right things right now. We need to get the wins to go with it. That's what I think is important.
Sure. And you know, they constantly harp on that. We're a developmental program. Right. Well, the only way you are is if you get kids in high school and you keep them. That's the only way you're developmental. You're not developing transfer portal guys. They're mercenaries, you know. And I'm not anti mercenary at all. I mean, they can play a role, but we'll never. I don't think Nebraska is capable of ascending to where we should be if we don't utilize the developmental ability we have. If that's not maximized, if that's not utilized, we're always going to kind of be almost Iowa, you know, because Iowa's a great developmental program. They really are. They're a fantastic developmental program, but they don't recruit as well as we do. And that's not a shot. It's just I can look at the stat. Hey, analytic people, you can probably look at that and tell me I'm right. I'm with you on that page. But we don't develop them worth a damn. You know. Yeah. So if we're gonna do it, we're gonna have to get high school players. We're gonna have to develop the hell out of them, and then we bring in some stars. It's not a mystery. It's just what we have.
That's when Nebraska's been at its best. Exactly. Is when you do those things, and you also do things a little bit differently. Nebraska has when we've been at our best. And here's Kurt saying, "Hey, we got a Nebraska kid from Notre Dame to be a fullback." And that's at Barrett Liebentritt, and he was a Scut kid, transferred back here. So he was at Notre Dame for 2 years, redshirted, mm-hmm. and then played last year as a redshirt freshman as a fullback. We also got a fullback from
Lakeview.
Lakeview Turnus.
Yeah.
And then also there was another Scut kid that was playing quarterback, I think, at Wyoming, and he just transferred back. So they're trying to infuse that position group with some players that I think Bonner still can be an interesting fullback in some situations, and I think especially his speed, his athleticism, but also to have a big old, you know, grinder fullback too.
And what a position to recruit for. You know, if it, like in a real X factor type position, like when Bonner's fascinating, and I think he kind of opened some eyes in the spring game just based on what Rule was even talking about, like the lead ISO he was talking about where Gabe Irvin went in for a touchdown. He's like, that was supposed to be a different fullback, but Bonner went in there, he made the block, and he went in. He's like, we weren't exactly sure he could do that. And that changes everything about how your personnel packages look. So it makes it really hard for these. So is he going to be a lead blocker? Is he getting the ball? Or is he going out for a pass? What a position to have. You know, like what a position to recruit to. Yep. And it seems like those are the kind of guys that Nebraska is kind of littered with. You know, if that Turnus kid from Nebraska, that kid's running like a sub 1100.
The Lakeview
kid. And he's huge. You know, and we get that guy out there and let him like lead block and smoke some fools and bend some face mask, and then all of a sudden he flanks off and he's open for a pass. He can catch and run, and he's got a sub 10 or sub 1100 speed. That's going to be a problem. And like, I love that kind of stuff. I love those matchup issues that we're building it from within. I'm like, you can't get any more Nebraska than Columbus. Holla.
So, you know, at the end of the thing, I mean, this is a kind of a fun conversation because we've kind of weaved our way through. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some positive things going on.
Very stream of consciousness. This is what I like.
And there's some challenges going on. Rule, we think, is doing an amazing job. We are ecstatic with what Coach Rule has done up to this point. And yet, I actually wanted to highlight him losing Rezac. Sure. I almost wanted to highlight it in a way because it was like the first time I've heard, you know, some of that little spatterings of the first few people that are like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's a problem. You know, and people are getting negative for a second. And that was almost good. Like I wanted to hear someone say something bad about Rule for a second because it's been too rose colored and, you know, and honeymoon period and everything. It's like, no, you know, yeah, you know, it's okay to critique the coach too. And let's critique it. Let's set our what we think are important standards. Yeah. And I've always said from day one, I'm going to be consistent with it. I want us recruiting in-state kids. I don't want other teams coming in.
You've been that since I've known you.
Yeah. So I don't want other teams dictating to us, you know, which kids should be getting offers.
Right. I don't want recruiting sites saying that either.
Yeah, I don't want recruiting sites telling our coaches who should be getting offers in-state. I want our guys knowing it, right? And I'm not telling Rule something he doesn't know. I also think that this is where I say give him a year where he can get through that full cycle. I think what they're going to do this summer with camps is really going to impress people, not just going out to the satellite camps, which they will, but what they're going to host here in state. I think that's going to make a big difference come next year. I think it's going to be that much harder for Notre Dame to come in and offer one of our kids before we do. 100%. But again, this is the same thing that we, you know, the same conversation we would have had a year ago with McIntyre going to Oklahoma when we weren't offering them. I mean, we have other examples of that too. It's like, or with Flores, you know, let's not be in those situations in the years to come. Let's make sure that we identify through camps, through coaching, through the coaching clinics. Let's identify who those players are well in advance. Let's get them in here. Yeah. Let's camp them. Yeah. Let's watch the film. Let's get all their numbers. Right. And when you're ready to offer it, offer it. Yeah. Don't wait for someone else.
Those in-state guys. They're the culture keepers, or I don't know if that's still a term they use. I know that was a term Frost used, but those guys are kind of the lifeblood of that stuff. The ones that, you know, probably their parents were, you know, the big Husker fans, like who was the cat that talked to us earlier, Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. They're about being the same age as some of these recruits. I'm sure Jackson's parents are far bigger Husker fans than Jackson, because Jackson, I'm sorry to say, has never seen a very, very good football team.
Actually, that's something that I'm doing with the fan forum last weekend and this week's fan forum. Last week, I had Jason from Huskerland, who is a he's a millennial. He wanted to make sure I didn't call him a Gen Z or whatever the next Gen was.
Is Gen Z looked down upon by
millennials? No, it's just that he was born in 94, not born like 96. Okay. But the point was, I wanted to start to get a couple younger people on to the fan forum to get the perspective of that. Mm-hmm. And then this week we have the Boys Down Bad podcast, and those guys are, you know, young 20s. They do they're on the Herd At Network. They do a great podcast, and they really focus. They have really hit the niche right with getting the recruits on. And they've talked to just about every single recruit that Nebraska's had come through. That's here. Cool. They do a great job with that. And it's interesting to get that perspective from those younger guys, because, you know, it's easy for you and I. Look, I just fell back earlier on a 1999 stat. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of being able to go back and talk about, because football's football.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I can go back to 1999 and talk about Crouch versus Applewhite. And, you know, don't sit there and tell me about quarterbacks taking hits. I mean, football hasn't changed that dramatically much. It's still about, you know, running and tackling and doing the fundamentals. But there are the younger people out there, like you're saying, that are like, they don't see that. And right now they just see us having lost a bunch of games. And Abby, millennials remember the good years too, though. And Hus Jerry,
I don't know what are years for millennials? Like, when were they born?
Millennials would have been like,
what are the oldest millennials?
1980 to like 95. Oh, okay. 94 was what I was looking it up last week because of the fan forum. Here, Jumbo Steam asked us, is there any one thing you'd want to see this coaching staff do more of so far?
Open practices. I'd like that for many of them. I really would. I just want to go. So, that was a serious response, but.
I mean, I'll start. You think about it for a second. I'll start with, I can't imagine them doing much more from an in-state. I don't know what else they could do from an in-state standpoint of trying to build those relationships faster than what they are. I just showed those screenshots of Coach Foley, and this is on top of what he did back in January. Right. On top, I mean, these coaches have been everywhere. What I would love to see, and I don't know even what's possible. We've brought this up before. Like what volleyball has done, like when they do a spring practice. Now they play another team, so I think they had like K-State or Wichita State come up this year and went to Central City. I'm not saying we do that in football because there's rules against some of that. But like, could we ever do a practice in North Platte? Could we take a football team, for an open practice? So this hits on what you said. Hey, you want to see an open practice? We're going to take the team and we're going to do one scrimmage on a Saturday up in North Platte, or we're going to go out to, you know, Hastings College, or we're going to go up to Columbus, whatever it is.
Oh, that'd be kind of
cool. Can you do something like that? Yeah. What are the rules, you know, for or against that? But it's just, that's another opportunity to bring the program out to the fans.
I don't think
you can do enough of that.
I guess to be serious about it, I don't know that they're checking a lot of boxes for me in terms of what they're doing. I'm being nitpicky about the recruiting if I'm complaining about it, and I'm being nitpicky about just the type of players they're recruiting if I don't like it. But I'm not joking when I say, shit, man. Even if you want to make it for charity, you know, like a $5 entry to a practice on a Friday night in the fall and in the spring, open a couple of them and like them open to the public and make it for a charity and just practice. People would show up. I would show up, and just to see the team work out and do stuff. You could utilize Husker fans in a lot of ways, and we'd be happy to show up and do it. I mean, you can make it free too. I don't care, but I'm just saying.
But it's like what Coach Riley did that first year when he did the Friday Night Lights.
Yeah,
it was just this random in the middle of June on a hot ass night.
Yeah,
but we're gonna show up to watch some kids run around their shorts and catch a few footballs. I mean, we're just gonna do it. And you said it before we went live tonight. You said you were talking to somebody who, you know, somebody was like talking about you guys haven't won football games forever. And it's like, well, who gives a crap if we won games? Like, why would that affect my fandom if we've won games or not?
Yeah. It was, they were saying we were so delusional. What was the context of it? But it was almost like he was irritated that we still care.
Yeah, that's.
I was like, what?
How many losses is it going to take before you stop caring?
Yeah, like these Husker fans won't shut up about loving their team. I'm like, bro, yeah, it's going to be a problem for you from here on out. Like, we're going to care. Yeah. And I unapologetically care.
Yeah. When we don't lose, or when we don't win enough games, we respond by building $160 million facilities.
Take that.
You know, when people complain about our sellout streaks, we tear down the South Stadium and build a new one. I mean, right. that's what we do at Nebraska.
Like, oh yeah. How about a volleyball game?
We're going to have 90,000 come for volleyball. That's how we respond to people that say you should stop caring. It's not going to happen. And we're just going to care that much more, but I guess if you haven't been here, maybe that's the thing. Sometimes we talk about it as an age thing. If you're not old enough to remember something, I don't even think of it like that. I think of it as, if you haven't been here, if you're a great Husker fan, but you just, for some reason, you live in California and you've never been to Nebraska, I don't know that you can fully get it.
Yeah.
There is something about coming here for a weekend, coming here for a year, living here, and you're inside this bubble and you're like, oh my gosh. Like,
Rob's a great example of that. When Rob comes back to Lincoln, or not back, he's not from here, but when Rob comes to Lincoln to visit, he has a blast. And we're talking about a guy who lives in Colorado, you know, where there's so many things to do, you know, and
grew up in California.
And he grew up in California. And you know where he has a blast? When he comes back. And you know where he hangs out? Rocha. Lincoln. And then we go to the stadium and we see Husker fans. And it's a blast. Rob gets it. That's the kind of stuff people are like, well, there's nothing else to do in Nebraska. Bro, there's nothing better to do, period. You know, like, that's just it. It's a blast. Why would I'm not going to apologize for having a great time supporting my football team. That's dumb. Or supporting the university. That's dumb. Like, should I be ashamed of that? There's not lakes. Like, you can't go. Like, there's like a million things to do. If you can't find things to do in Nebraska, it's because you don't have friends.
Yeah. You know? It's like, one of my absolute favorite quotes. It came from Husker Amy, Redcast Amy, and she was one of our Husk girls. So Abby, you know her well. And Amy said, "Husker fans are made of the bounciest substance on earth." And it was just, and she has a great way with words, where it's like, literally, when something terrible happens, when Dylan Raiola doesn't commit to Nebraska, even though everyone pretty much knew he wasn't going to, immediately Nebraska fans are like, "Okay, well that stinks." Boing. Who's the next recruit to talk about? Right. Okay, we're going to talk about something else.
Flores kid isn't totally committed to Oklahoma State, is he?
what new facility can we talk about? You know, I mean, boing. Yeah. we just keep and we lost to this team again. Boing. Okay, you know, who's the next recruit? We're always going to figure that out because
this we're like isn't, flubber. You know, it doesn't even make sense.
This isn't something that we're going to give up.
No.
And
it's like they want
and
us
if
to.
If that drives other fan bases crazier than anything, then God bless them.
I feel like that's just more of a looking in the mirror kind of thing for those fan bases. You're just sad that you don't have a big enough fan base.
Love being so irrelevant that they can't stop talking about it.
They just get so mad.
Oh my gosh.
Abby's right. They get big mad. And I love it. And I feast on their anguish. It's because we haven't had a lot of wins to deal with. It's like why do people concern themselves with us loving our football team and hoping they get better and putting up these new palaces for them to train and to get better at? It's like they just won't get it. Like, yeah, no, we won't, sorry. And we're never ever going away.
Never.
We're updating mascots. We're making motorcycles. Husker stuff all over them. And then, you know, our athletic director is a fiend, and he absolutely is going to dominate the single
International. Like, it'll be the
for sure. We're gonna get the United States one.
But well, no, because the number one is the United States. It was that 92 World Cup. Okay. So at the Rose Bowl, but if they can get to 92,000, which you can tell that's absolutely the goal.
Hashtag cancel the concert. Just cancel the concert.
Or just put the concert on top of the volleyball court. Don't take up any places for seats to put this stage.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the best thing.
The haters come out when we set that record. You watch them come out and complain about, like, these fans, they don't get it. They're terrible. I'm like, it's so hilarious to me.
But here at the Go Big Redcast, which is Rob logged in as the Go Big Redcast, obviously, he goes, "God darn right, love me some Lincoln and Rocha." So thank you, Rob, but you're not logged in as yourself. And This will be our last one here, and then we'll head out here. Jumbo Steam again. In 1916, during the train trip out to Oregon State, Husker football stopped in practice, met fans in North Platte, Scotts Bluff, Julesburg, and Laramie, so fans could see them. So there is precedent.
Ooh, nice job. Is that Boomer?
That's got to be Boomer. It's got to be Boomer.
That was such a Boomer comment. I hope it is, but if it isn't, Boomer, you should meet this guy because you guys get along very well.
Only Boomer would have a burner account that's Jumbo Steam. It's gotta be. So
true.
I'm gonna guess that that's Boomer. But
don't give up his burner account.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just between us, Jumbo. So, anyways, Redcasters that follow along, because this was last second we threw it together.
Yes.
Thank you so much for interacting. It was
a lot of fun tonight. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Great time.
Mac, yeah. I had a great time.
I love you.
I love you. And we love all of you too.
Yes, we do.
I guess the way we'll end this is, Mac, you got a parting shot?
No, not really. I mean, no, I don't. I wish I did. I'm so terrible at these things. You got a parting shot? I should think of anything. How about you? What's your parting shot, bud?
I am excited for what how this semester will end here, and we're going to find out who the 85 scholarship guys are. We know that two walk-ons already have been elevated to a starting or to a scholarship spot. So that's a Borkircher, the tight end from Aurora, and then Bullock. Bullock, and both of them, you know, they've already performed well out there in front of the lights at the spring game, and Coach Rule has been very high on them. And I love the idea. What's the developmental program look like in today's world? Get those recruits in, get the transfers in back in December and January, and go back and watch our shows back then. That's what we said at that time, is that a developmental program today means get them in now, get them through your offseason, strength and conditioning, spring ball, and all that. And then if we can offer a couple of walk-ons that have earned it, that's a developmental program today. Mm-hmm. It's a blend. It's a balance. It's using some of the modern techniques of bringing guys in through a portal and some NIL, some of the things that the old school guys want to plug your nose at. No, you got to play in that world too, but we can't just live off of that. We can't. No. And so I'm not a big fan of right now. Let's go out into the portal and let's bring in 10 more guys now. Mm-hmm. Why? What did we do wrong the last 6 months? If we have to bring in 10 more guys now. And I love the fact that that's not how Coach Rule's building it.
Not
from day one. Mm-mm. And that he has a pretty good feel, I think, of this team here already. I'm just excited to see what this team does going into the next phase of it, going into summer. And then see what's going to happen when we get into August.
It's terribly exciting, and I hope we don't wait as long. I know it's probably more me, but I hope we don't wait as long to do another Matt's Rule. This was a lot of fun. I had a great time tonight. The interaction with y'all was great. That was so much fun, having something to bounce off. Maybe next time I'll wear my glasses because it's so far away.
Great show, Mac. Analytics still love you, even though you hate them.
I don't hate them. I just.
And Patrick McGuire says, fun show, guys.
Oh, Pat was on.
Thanks, guys. What's up, buddy? Yeah. Oh. So, anyways, I guess I don't really know how to end this. Like, you know, with the fan forum, I always say, you two could be the next one to join us on the forum. You know, I have that saying. Dave always, you know, with the regular Redcast is like, hey, come back for another Go Big Redcast. I don't really have a Matt's Rule ending.
Don't forget the Matt's Rule. I don't know. Don't forget
Matt's Rule.
we'll work on that. Sorry.
Yeah.
A Herd at Sports Network production.